Okay, we'll start on Amud Aleph, about 11 lines down in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "B'mayu kimto, Rabbi Shmuel Malkot." So now the Gemara was trying to figure out who the author of our Mishnah was. In the end, the Gemara came up with the conclusion that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, and he was referring to Malkot, we were talking about cases of a Malkot, and that's how we got around the problems of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion in certain places. So, for instance, we said, questioned, how could it be that Rabbi Shmuel is the author of the Mishnah, when Rabbi Shmuel says, "Enu chayav el atid lavo," that Rabbi Shmuel says, you're only chayav for the future, not for the past. So, Gemara says, no problem, we're talking about Malkot. We have to come up, what about Lav Shein Bo Maaseh? Here the Gemara said, also, Rabbi Shmuel holds that Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, look in a lav. So, we went through all these permutations, and that's what, at this point, we think that Rabbi Shmuel is the author of the Mishnah, and we're talking about Malkot. So, the Gemara says, Marot Negaim, my Malkot Eka. So first of all, by Marot Negaim, if you say Shtayin Shein Arba, which is talking about the four types of Negaim, white, shades of white that would make one Tamei by Negaim, why is there Malkot at all? What's the Shayach Malkot over there? And obviously you can't say we're talking about a case where he's going in with his Nega into the Kodesh, into the Mikdash, or he's eating Kodesh with his Nega, which is a problem of Tumah, because over there, we already know that from Shtayin Shein Arba, from the Idiota Tumah. That's, Nega is no different than any other Tumah, and Idiota Tumah means if I know I'm Tamei, going to the Mikdash, I know I'm Tamei, and I'm eating Kodesh. So that, this wouldn't be any different if these items are Tamei. Yeah, one thing you could suggest is that Mitzora is sent out further out of the machanot than a normal tamei, so a tamei mate. For instance, a mitzvah is sent out further. So therefore, if he enters into machane leviyah or machane yisrael, maybe there should be a lav against him entering into those machanot. The answer is yes, there is a lav, but it's a lav in itak lase. It's a lav that you're not supposed to do, but if he does, there's also v'shalchul, you have to send them back out. So therefore, he wouldn't get malkot anyway. So Mara wants to know, what do I get malkot by negaim for? So Mara says, well, I have the answer to that. Is Ika b'kotzeitz b'harto. When he cuts off his nega, he pulls off his nega. Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Man Amar Rabbi Lo, Kol Makom Shneimar Yishamer Pen Bi'al, Eino Ela Lo Tasei. That whenever the Torah uses the terminology Hishamer, or Pen, or Al, it's coming to teach you Lo Tasei. It's equivalent to saying, don't do this. And therefore it'll be a lav. So in the Torah, it's that you should not take off, or the lav here is that you should not remove the tzarat from your body. Now they remove the tzarat. So they're over here, which, according to this Gemara at least, it seems that we're only talking about marod negayim tmeim. The only time there's a restriction against removing a nega is when the nega is tamei. And therefore we do have a lav, so that'll be the malkot, shtayim shein arba, because that's the lav that's associated with it. So the Gemara says, itziot ha-shabot, my malkot iko. Why is there any malkot by itziot ha-shabat? Why? Because it's a lav shenitan lazarad mitad beitinu. What's the punishment for violation of Shabbos? Violation of Shabbos is you get skila, or you get to karet. But the fact that you forget skila, we've discussed this before, that means that the lav that is teaching you do not violate the Shabbos. If you do violate the Shabbos, you will get this onesh. And we said that when there's a lav, when there's an azhara, a warning that stands on its own, then we say you get malkot for it. But if the warning has a punishment associated with it, we say the warning is not for the sake of the warning itself, but it's a warning to get to that onesh. And therefore there is no, the onesh is spoken out. The onesh is mita over here. So why would this case, it's a lav that ends up in a mita based in, why should you get malkot for it? You don't get malkot for that. So it says, that's exactly why we set up the mission like Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel's of the opinion that cholav shenitan lasarat mitad based in lokin alav. That he believes that you are loke an a lav and itan lasarat mitad based in. Versus Rabbi Akiva believes that you're not loke on this. So we had this Gemara in Makot, Machotin, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva. And so that's why we picked Rabbi Shmuel to be the author of our mission over here. So the Gemara says, wait, halav hachi. For we're not for this one factor, kaimo Rabbi Akiva. We would establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. You just said, this is the reason that we picked Rabbi Shmuel to be the author of our Mishnah. Because he's the one who holds that Lav Shnitan Lasaret Meit Titin is Lokin Alav. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva says, ain't Lokin Alav. But had Rabbi Akiva held Lokin Alav, he could have been the author of our Mishnah. But wait, what about the question we just had on yesterday's daf, which is, what by Rabbi Akiva, Kashi Yediota Tuma. Right, by Yediota Tuma, Rabbi Akiva says that he only has two, he does not have arba. He only has forgetting about the tum'ah by kodesh and forgetting about the tum'ah by entering into the mikdash. But he does not think that there's a, you bring a korban for forgetting about the kodesh or forgetting about the mikdash. So Mar says, no, if you want to do that, if you, okay, Rabbi Akiva, we can solve Rabbi Akiva the same way that you solved Rabbi Shmuel, which is Lava Martha Rabbi Shmuel he Udamalkot, the way you solve the problem for Rabbi Shmuel by the case of Shvuah Shtein Shein Arba. Rabbi Shmuel only thinks Latid, you said that's only for a Korban. But for Malkot, he agrees there are four categories. So Rakiva Nami, Udamalkot. Let's say Rabbi Akiva believes that, yes, Shtein Shein Arba, he only believes that there are two by Yediyot Tuma. But that relates to bringing the Korban Olev Yoreit. When it comes to the Malkot, maybe he'll hold the whole of Arba, and that's how we'll solve the problem there. Marzeh is Yoch, Yediyot. Why would you call it Yediyot Tuma? Hatraot mi Bayelei. It's not the fact that you knew you were Tamei at one point and then forgot, right? Or you forgot and then you remembered. But it's rather, you're going in B'mezid. We know you're intentionally going in. It really is Hatraot Tuma. If we warn you that you're going in, then you are Chayav Malkot. What does that have to do with Yediyah? Yediyah is not the relevant factor over here when you're dealing with Mezid. Yediyah is a factor when you deal with Shogeg. But when you deal with Mezid and you deal with Malkot, Yediyah is not an issue. It says, Halo Kasha, Tnei Yediyot Dehatraot. Yeah, we'll just amend the Mishnah to read Yediyot Dehatraot. Yediyah of the Hatra'ah, and therefore we'll solve the problem. Mar says, okay, that's a nice way to solve the problem, but we have other issues. What? Yochi, Shtein Shein Arba. Why do you think there's Shtein Shein Arba then by Yediyot HaTuma? Over here we're talking about Yediyot HaTra'ot of Tuma. By Mezid, Tartehu Dabian. There's only two cases by Mezid, because we have four factors here. We have Tuma and Mikdash, and we have Tuma and Kodesh. So therefore we said that in the cases you can either forget the Tuma, which is the Shtayim, or you can forget the Mikdash and the Kodesh, which is the Arba, the other additional two. But when you're Mezid, you're not forgetting anything. If you're not forgetting anything, then there are only two possible cases. That is Tuma, eating Kodesh, and Tuma, and entering the Mikdash. Because there's nothing to forget, and there's no other permutation. Those are the two possible permutations. If that's the case, how do you have Shtayim Shein Arba? It should just be Shtayim, period. So Mar says the two, and then what are you going to do with the rest of the Mishnah? Et sheyesh ba yediyah b'tchila v'yediyah b'sof ve'elam b'entayim. Right? The case is when he has yediyah in the beginning, and halama, he forgets in the middle, and then he has yediyah at the end. Halama l'malkot ma'avitei. Why is the Mishnah even discussing about forgetting when it comes to mezid, when it comes to malkot? There is no forgetting. The two. And also the Mishnah says, harizeh bo levi yoreid, that this case could bring, say, korban o levi yoreid. If we're talking about a mezid and malkot, what's the sheikhu of Karban Olev Yoreid to our Mishnah whatsoever. So because of these additional factors, we can't suggest that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah with Malkot. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, no. The author of our Mishnah really is Rabbi. V'nosiv la aliba tatnai. And he set up the Mishnah according to different Tanaim. Not necessarily that Rebbe held of their positions, but rather Rebbe wanted to come up with a Mishnah where he could say Shtayim Shein Arba about numerous items. So when he went to say Shtayim Shein Arba about numerous items, he has to pick different Tanaim. He picks the Tano by Yediyot HaTuma, who says Shtayim Shein Arba. It's called that Rabbi Shmuel. And he picks the Tano by Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba, and he picks Rabbi Akiva. So even though we're not consistent in who the author of the Mishnah is, what the consistency is, whichever category is mentioned, we have a Talmud who believes that it's Shtayim Shein Arba. So that's what Rabbi Yosef says. Rabbi, nasiv la liba detnai. Bidiyo nasiv la ki Rabbi Shmuel. Yediyot HaTuma yod like Rabbi Shmuel. Vishvot nasiv la ki Rabbi Akiva. Solve the problem. Amar Rav Ashi amrita l'shmaita kameh Rav Kano. Rav Ashi says, I took this memory of Rabbi Yosef and I told it over to Rav Kano. Amar li, lo tamer Rabbi nasiv la labi tenai. Velei lo svirlei. Don't say, like I was explaining until now, that Rabbi set up the Mishnah according to Tanaim, but he doesn't hold of it. Meaning that Rabbi holds otherwise, but rather you should say, Ela Rebbe, time of the Nafshe Mefarish. Rebbe had a position, and to his position involved sometimes some of the things he held like Rabbi Shmuel and some of the things he held like Rabbi Akiva. So what he did in the Mishnah was he was so tame the Shittat Rabbi. He was so tame the Shittat Rabbi, so that way he brought whichever Tana fit his position, he brought their position in the Mishnah, made it into a Stam Mishnah, because that's what he believed the true halacha was. The reason that Gemara over here is trying to at least get Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, or at least establish the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva, is because we know it's a lot easier if we have Rabbi Akiva as the Stam Mishnah, because the Gemara told us in Sanhedrin that Rov Stamim, or Stimtai, are according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Tzotzefta is Rabbi Nechemia, Kulu Alibet Rabbi Akiva. They're all according to Rabbi Akiva. I mean, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, we'd much rather have the Mishnah be consistent or able to at least hold Rabbi Akiva in some way. So how the Gemara says, okay, this is Rabbi's position. Where do we see that Rabbi's position is so? Gemara says, the Tanya, how do we know by Yediyah to Tumah this is the position of Rabbi? Because of a Braisa, Minayin Shein Chayav Ela Sheyesh by Yediyah B'Tchila, Yediyah B'Sof. How do you know you're not Chayav for a Korban, until you have, you knew beforehand that you were Tamei, you forgot, and then you remembered again? How do I know those are the qualifications? Tamal Omar V'Ne'alam, V'Ne'alam Shnei Pe'amim. Says the word Ben'alam twice in the Pasuk, Dibrei Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva's position. The Pasuk says, Ben'alam Imenu V'Hu Tamei, Ben'alam Imenu V'Hu Yada. So the word Ne'alam is used twice in the Pesukim that deal with the Karbon Olir B'Yoreh, at the end of Parshat Vayikra, for the cases of Yediyot Tumah. So Rabbi Akiva says, we learn it out from Ne'alam that it's written twice. It happens to be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosafot, what the limud of Rabbi Akiva is. According to Rashi, the limud of Rabbi Akiva is, the first Ne'alam comes to teach me that I forgot about Tum'ah, but I did not forget about Kodesh and Mikdash. Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that forgetting about the Tum'ah is what makes you Chayav, but forgetting about the Mikdash and the Kodesh does not make you Chayav. So therefore Rashi says the first Ne'alam comes to teach me Ne'alam of Tum'ah is considered Olamah, is considered a forgetting to make you Chayav a Karbon. But the Olamah, forgetting about the Mikdash and Kodesh, that is not a Olamah, that's not a forgetting that will make you Chayav a Korban. And that's what the word Ne'alam comes to teach you. The second Ne'alam comes to teach you that Ve'Ne'alam must mean you need a Yediyah. If you forgot, it means you must have had some sort of Yediyah. So Rashi says it must be the Yediyah B'Tchila, it must be the Yediyah in the beginning, because the Yediyah B'Sof, the knowledge at the end, is obvious in this case. Otherwise, why is he bringing a Korban? He would never have to bring a Korban all the way if he doesn't remember that he was ever Tameh. So Yediyah B'Sof is already a given, it's a known factor. The Yediyah B'Tchila is what we didn't know about, and that's when this comes along. The Ne'alam comes to teach you, I forgot. If I forgot, it means that I once knew. So that means I had Yediyah, and then I forgot about it. So that's why Rashi learns the Pshita Rabbi Akiva. The Pshita Rabbi Akiva revolves around the word Ne'alam being there twice. One Ne'alam comes to teach me the one aspect of Rabbi Akiva's Shita, which is that Halama, forgetting, only applies to Tum'ah, not to Mikdash and Kodesh. On the other hand, the second Ne'alam comes along to teach me that Ne'alam means I forgot, I had to know at some point. When did I know about it? I knew about it beforehand, and that's how I know I need a Yediyah B'Tchila. Again, Yediyah B'Sof does not necessarily need limud for according to Rashi, because Yediyah B'Sof is obvious, otherwise you wouldn't be bringing a Korban unless you knew about it. Tosfos has a number of questions on Rashi. Why do I need a Ne'alam to teach me that I wouldn't know that to forgetting only applies to Tumah and not to Kodesh and Mikdash? Where would I have a Havamina that forgetting about the Kodesh and Mikdash was considered a good Halama, good forgetting? Even those that who do think that it is good Halama need a limud to get it to be Halama. So it's not obvious. Rashi seems to say that the default would be forgetting anything would be fine, and the Halama comes to exclude it. So it says, where'd you get that default status? The Halama that's written in the Pasuk seems to be Halama of Tumah, and to have Halama of Mikdash and Kodesh, you'd need a limud for it. If you don't have a limud, what do you need a specific exclusion for it? Number two, the fact that the idea by right, that the idea at the end you don't need a pasuk for, right? Because otherwise, why would you bring a korban? So then, Tosafot says, why not by all other chataot? You should say the same thing. By all the other chataot, anytime you have to bring a chatat, and we said there it says ohoda. So ohodai love chatato. When it says ohodai love chatato, what is that yediyah about? Well, according to Rashi, you don't need a yediyah b'sof, because yediyah b'sof is a given. It's a factor that otherwise you wouldn't be bringing a korban for. So it must be that the yediyah for tchila. Well, that means it also says that you should have to have yediyah for tchila in every form of chatat. Not just here by korban oleiria of yediyot tumah. It's not unique to yediyot tumah. It should be true of all chatot because we have oda alav chatato asher chata. So you have a yediyah. If you don't need the yediyah at the sof, it should be the yediyah b'tchila. Tosu says some other questions, and then he says, "Lachen nirel Rabbeinu Tam." That this is the limit over here. The limit is that Rabbi Kiva is darish lebi ne'alam yitera. That there's an extra ne'alam here, michlal shiada, that he knew beforehand. So Rabbeinu Tam believes that Rabbi Kiva's shita revolves around the fact that there's an extra word ne'alam here. And the extra word of ne'alam implies that he yada, that he also knew about it. So now ne'alam, if you forgot, must mean that you knew in the beginning, and it's come to teach me about the yediyah b'tchila. So now I know that I have to have yediyah b'tchila ve ne'alam, and then I had the ne'alam v'huyada. And then v'huyada teaches me again that he knows about it now. So I have a yediyah ehalama, and then another yediyah. And that extra word, ne'alam, is what comes to teach me it according to Rabbi Akiva. Or you could say, ne'alam, ne'alam is written twice. And then you can show that you take from the pasuk the word v'huyada and place it in between them, bentrei, ne'alam. And then you have yediyah acharalama, v'kodam alama. Because if you have the yediyah, it can be, it's written in the pasuk as ne'alam v'huyada. But if you take v'huyada and you place it in between the two ne'alams, then you have a yediyah before the alama and you have an yediyah after the alama. That comes because the fact that the extra word halama is there. Why do you need that extra word halama? To teach you that there's yediyah before and afterward. But either way, what Rabbi Akiva is doing, whether it's according to Rashi and according to Tosafot, is that he has the word ne'alam, he has an extra word ne'alam, and he uses that ne'alam to teach me the locha of yediyot tumah, that in yediyah beforehand, halama, then a forgetting, and then a yediyah afterwards. So that's what he learns from it. But Rabbi, on the other hand, comes along and says, Rabbi Omer, eino tzarich, you don't need that. Hari Omer, because it says, v'ne'alam, he forgot, michlal de yada. That means that he knew beforehand. Who yada? And now he knows. Arikan shte yidiot. Now you have two yidiot. Imkein matam alomar v'ne'alam v'ne'alam. So then, why do I need to pause the word of ne'alam twice? I mean that the basic definition of the word ne'alam is that he forgot. If he forgot, it means that he had to have known at some point in time. So if that's the case, the basic definition of the word is ne'alam is that, as such, then I have an extra ne'alam that is available to me for a limud. Because even the core ne'alam teaches me that v'hu yada. So now he has extra word ne'alam. According to Rabbi Akiva, the first ne'alam is the gufei dekra, that he forgot. Then the second ne'alam is what I come to limud from, right? Rabbi says, no, the first ne'alam itself also implies yediyah. Therefore, I have an extra word v'ne'alam. So what do I do with this extra word ne'alam? L'chayav aleihem tumah v'aleihem mikdash. To teach you that there's not only forgetting of the tumah is considered forgetting here, but also forgetting about the kodesh and mikdash is also classified as forgetting. And that's what we have yediyot tumah shtayim shein arba. And that's what Rav Kahana was telling Rav Ashi. This is Rebbe l'shitato. Rebbe believes that yediyot tumah shtayim shein arba because of his limud from the pasuk. So ashkikhan be yediyot le time of the nafshei. Great. So by yediyot tumah, we've now explained Rebbe has such an opinion like the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why he was so tamlan ki Rabbi Shmuel, because that's what he believes the din is. About shvot, the late time of the nafshei minolon, right? So by shvot, we don't have such a things. How do we know the time of the nafshei minolon? How do we know this? Marseh svaruhu. We know it's a svar. It's a logical argument that Rebbe believes. By the case of Shavuot, that there's Shtayim Shein Arba. Why do we say that? Because Rabbi Akiva, my time, Akam Mechayiv Lavar. Why does Rabbi Akiva believe that you're Mechayiv not only for a Shavua, La'atid Lavo, La'ra Lo'itiv means that Ochel, the low Ochel, statements about the future that you're Chayav, but you're also Chayav for the Avar, which is Achalti, Velo Achalti. How does he learn that out? He learns that out from a drusha of a Ribui Umiyut. Whereas Rabbi Nami, we know, also learns the concept of ribui umiyut. So this is a basic machloket hatanaim, mostly focused on a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, about when you have a ribui, some sort of inclusionary statement or general statement in the Torah, then you have a prat, you have a more defined or particular statement, then how do those two statements interact with each other? So there are different principles set up. I sent out for you, it's called the Principles of Drash, But there are two schools of thought of how to work with it. One is called the principles of klal uprat, or klal uprat to klal. Those are the principles that we're more familiar with. The Gemara uses them all the time. But there's a second set of principles where they would learn it as a riboy, miut, and riboy. So the basic difference in our case here, what's going to come up, is actually here in the case of shvua. But the case of shvua, it says that a person, nefesh, ki tishba, person who comes to take a shvua, that's a general statement. Then it says, lahara leitiv. Lahara leitiv is a particular statement about what type of shvua. It means lahara leitiv means for good or for bad, but in the future tense, which means ochel velo ochel. Then it says afterwards, lechol hasheyivatek. So then again, another general statement about taking a shvua. So I have a general statement, a particular statement, and then a general statement. What do I do with that? So there are two possibilities. One is to make it into a klal, prat uklal, and one is to make it into a riboy, miot, and riboy. What's the difference between them? So we'll start with klal. If you just had a klal and a prat, you just had a general statement and then a particular statement. The din by klal prat is ein bachlal elamashe b'prat. The only thing that the klal is now is redefined by the prat. And that is because the word prat, or the, when you learn like a prat means that it's the perush. It's the explanation of the klal, of the general principle. So if I lay out a general principle and then I give particulars, the particulars are described to me, when does the general principle apply? And therefore a klal u prat, if I had a general statement and then a prat, that tells me then and only in that case does it apply. So instance over here by shvua, I have a general statement about shvua, then I have l'ralu etiv. If it was just that, klal u prat, then at that point in time I would say that the only types of shvuot that you're chayav for is la'aralu etiv, something, because that particular statement is defining what the general statement was beforehand. Then along comes another klal afterwards, another general statement afterwards, and then we have what's called klal upratu klal. Klal upratu klal, enudan elo ke'ina prat. Then you include things that are ke'ina prat, that are similar to the prat. Because along comes the second klal, along comes the additional klal at the end, to the ribuye, to include. I mean, you had a general statement, then a particular statement. Now we said the particular statement defines the general statement. But then now we have another general statement. Why is that extra general statement coming? What's coming to include things? What does it include? It includes things that are ke'ina prat, similar to the prat. What is it including? Well, we said before, a prat defines. So if it's just a klal prat, the definition of the klal is the prat. But when I have an additional klal now, the prat no longer becomes the definition of the klal, because the second klal is not defined by the prat, but rather the prat comes to define for us what to include, what category to include, not just what particularly to include, but what category. And there are things that are similar to the prat will be included. That's the way to learn klal prat to klal. On the other hand, there's another school called riboy, miut, and riboy. Now, in this other school of thought, you have a riboy and a miut. In the riboy and the miut is not the definition or the explanation of the riboy, unlike the prat that was the definition of the klal. But in this school of thought, rather that the miut is coming to somehow narrow the riboy. It's not coming to define it, but to narrow it. And therefore, if I have a riboy and then a miut, then the first riboy would have included everything. The miut comes along and says, well, don't include everything, only include things that are similar to me. And that's what the miut, as opposed to when it's a klal uprat, and the prat comes to define the klal, by riboy and miut, the miut comes to tell me, not to define the particular riboy over here, but the category of riboy. And therefore, a riboy and miut actually looks exactly like a klal uprat to klal. But then again, afterwards, if I have another riboy afterwards, I have a riboy, then a miut, and then a riboy. What does the second riboy come to do? So in that case, it calls Rabbi Komile. Then it comes to include everything. Ah, what about the miut in the middle? The miut in the middle, it simply comes to exclude one item. Whatever item is the most unlikely to be included in this case, we'll say this miut comes to exclude it. Again, the school of klal uprat to klal looks at the prat as being a definition of the klal. Whereas the riboy and miut really sees the miut as almost being independent. Now when it's there, or the miut is functioning, it has to do something. So either it excludes something in particular, or it helps define for us a category of items that are including. So it excludes things that are not in that category. But it's not the definition of the riboy, it's not the particular definition of that riboy. So now we come, so Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva both are from that school of thought of riboy, miut, and riboy. Titania, how do do we know that that's the case by Rabbi? Because we do know it by Rabbi Akiva, because that's actually how Rabbi Akiva learns out that the Shavar is also Chayav by Shavuot, is because he calls it a Ribuy, Miut and Ribuy, which is what we have over here. We said before that the Pasuk by Shavua, there's a Ribuy of a Pasuk, Nevesh Kitzi Shava. Then we have La Ralo Eti, which is the Miut. And then we have the Kol HaShivate, which is the Klal Achrona. So now I have a Ribuy, Miut, and Ribuy by the case of Shavua. So that means Rabbi Kol, I include everything. And Haral Eitim comes to exclude one item. What's the one item? So Rabbi Akiva says it's the Batelet HaMitzvah. If you came to be Batel HaMitzvah, that Shavua doesn't work. Otherwise, all Shavuot work. With Shavuot Latid, the Avar, everything's included. So that's why Rabbi Akiva thinks that there's Shtayim, Shehim, Arba. As you learn it as Klal Pratuklal, then you would only include the Kena Prat. Some things that are similar to the Hara or the Eitim would only include things that don't have Ra'a or Hatava in them, but they deal with issues in the future. How do we know that Rebbe has such a drasha? The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, b'chol podim b'chor adam chutz min ha-shtarot. You're allowed to redeem a b'chor adam with anything except a shtar. Rabban Amar, b'chol podim b'chor adam chutz min ha-vadim shtarot v'karkot. You're allowed to, a father is allowed to redeem his firstborn son from the Kohen with anything, with any item, with any monetary means, except for these three items, which is our karkot, shtarot, and avadim. So my time the Rabbi. So actually the Bach actually reverses the whole Girsa here and says, first, the Gemara first talks about the Rabbanan's position, then Rabbi's position. I'll just read what we have in our Gemara, because in the end it's really the same thing. It's just the order, which generally they would address the Chachamim's position, then Rabbi's position. So Gemara says, my time at the Rabbi. What's Rabbi's reasoning? The Dorish Ribuyeu Miute. He's the school of thought that does it the Ribu and Miut. Ufduya ben Chodesh Riba. Berkacha Kesef, Chamesh Shkalim, Miut. Tifteh, then you redeem Chazav Riba. Now you have Riba, Miut, Riba. Riba Kol. We said Riba, Miut, Riba includes everything. So my Riba, Kol Miut, everything. My Miut. Then we said when you have a Riba, Miut, and Riba, the Miut excludes one item. Miut Shtarot. It excludes the Shtarot, which are the least like all the other items. And what does it mean least like? Because they have no monetary value. Shtarot have no inherent monetary value, and therefore you cannot redeem with them. The Rabban, on the other hand, Darshei Klali Ufrate. They learn in the school of thought of Klalu Prat. So, do you have ben chodesh klal? Berkacha kesef chameshet koshkalim. Right, so when he redeems him at 1 month, that's the general principle. Berkacha kesef chameshet koshkalim, you're going to use money, 5 shekel, to redeem him prat. That's the particular statement. Tifte, you will redeem chazar b'klal. That gives you another general statement. Klal uprat uchlal, iada dan elokeina prat. When you have a klal prat uchlal, you do it just like the prat. The prat now becomes the definition of the category that we're going to include. Ma prat mifurash davara mitaltel, begufo mamon. Just like the particular item, money, that's mentioned in the pasuk, it's something that is movable item, it's a carryable item, vigufo mamon, and it has inherent value, avkol davara mitaltel, begufo mamon. Then anything that fits in that category will be allowed to use to redeem a bechor. So what do we exclude from that? Yatsu karkaot, shena mitaltelim. Karkaot are real property, they don't move, and therefore they're excluded from that prat. Yatsu avadim, exclude avadim, shukshu the karkaot, that are made in the Torah are treated like karkaot, because it says min chaltem otam livnechem achareyem. We're talking about an Eved Knani, an Eved Knani you own like karka, and since they are hukash the karka, they're treated like karka. Over here also, their din will be like karka, that they'd be excluded, even though they are metaltalin, even though they move around, nevertheless, they have the din like real property. Yatsu shtarot, mixu shtarot, afapish metaltalin, even though you can carry them around, they're movable items, in gufa mamon, they have no inherent value. And since they have no inherent value, therefore, you cannot use them to redeem the Bechor Adam. But we see over here that Machlokes in Rebbe and the Rabbanan revolves around the fact that Rebbe believes in the drush of Ribuy and Miut. The Rabbanan believe in Klal Uprat. So we see Rebbe holds of this concept of Ribuy and Miut. If that's the case, you can hold like Rebbe Akiva by Shavuot. That also learns out the whole idea that you can have a Shavuot Le'avar and be Chayav for it from a Ribuy and Miut. Samalei Ravina Lameima Rebbe Dari Shribuya Miute? Is it really true that Rebbe is from that school of thought of Ribu and Miut? Va Rebbe Klali Uprate Darish? Doesn't Rebbe really learn from Klalu Prat? Titanya, we have a brace of Matseya, I only have a Matseya. I can only use, this is talking about an Eved Ivri who wants to stay past his time, his 7 years that he's going to be an Eved Ivri, and he wants to stay until the Yovel. So we bring him, we Matseya, we put a hole in his ear, we pierce his ear up on the door. And Matseya, only have a Matseya. I thought you can only use this instrument called the Matseya, right, which is the piercing instrument. Minai the robot, how do I know that you can include other items that can create the hole in his ear, which is about the soul, which is a sharp piece of wood, v'hasira, which is a thorn, hamachat, a pin, v'machdeach, and some sort of a drill, v'amichtav, and here it's an etching instrument. How do I know that I can use all of these? Tamalomar v'lakachto, that you can kold avashinu kach v'yad. And the Pasuk says, v'lakachta, anything you can carry in your hand, divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, marzeya. Mar Marzeya Miuchad Shel Matechet, Av Kol Shel Matechet. Just like Marzeya, the chisel is made out of metal, so too, any instrument that is made out of metal, that you can use for piercing the ear. V'armina b'may k'miflegei. What's the argument between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi revolve around? It says, Rabbi Darish Klalei Oprate, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Ribui Emutei. The machlokas is exactly this, in the school of thought of Ribui Miyud versus Klal Uprat to Klal. Why is that? Because Pasuk tells us by Marzeya that you have to pier lakachta, you take the instrument, that's the Klal, the general principle. Marzeya is a particular statement about what instrument, the chisel, but not Tata Bell's no, right? So that is also another general statement, anything that you can put into his ear. So you have a general statement, a particular statement, a general statement. So how do I treat that? If I say Klal Uprat like Rebbe, that means I have to things that are similar to a chisel. What's the defining characteristic of a chisel? That it's an instrument that is metal. So that's why any instrument that's metal can be used. The other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says it's a ribui, miut, and ribui. Ribui, miut, and ribui means that I include everything. And then the miut of chisel comes to exclude one item. The one item that is the least likely or the least similar to the chisel, that will be excluded over here. But nothing else will be excluded. And that's why Rabbi Yossi says it's called the Davar Nikach Bayad. Anything you can hold in your hand, that works. That's good enough. Whereas Rebbe says, no, it has to be another. It has to be closer to the chisel. And what does that mean? It has to be made out of metal. But what do you see from here? That Rebbe holds of Darshins, or the school of thought of Klal Uprat Uchlal. So Rebbe says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish, Ribui, and Miut. In. Rebbe says, you're right. Eno Hanami. Ba'alma Klal Uprate Darish. In general, Rebbe's of the school of thought that we have Klal Uprat Uchlal. Ba'ochlainu Taimas. What about over here in the case of Bechor, where Rebbe Darshins, Ribui, Miut, or Ribui? Is Kedanya Be Rabbi Shmuel, because he's here holding up the Tanya Be Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. Ba'mayim, Ba'mayim, Shnei Pe'amim. The word mayim, written twice, which is talking about those kosher animals. Etzet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, that's klal. B'yamim u'mnechalim, that which are in the rivers, right, and the streams. Prat, those are particular statement. B'mayim, in the water, chazal v'chlal. And you have another general principle. So you have a klal u'prat u'chlal over there, of mayim. Mayim are the two klalim. And then you have b'yamim u'nechalim to be the particular statement. The only problem there is that, as opposed to in general, where you have a general statement, then a particular statement, then a general statement, over there, by the case of Ezek Tuchlu B'mayim, the two general statements are next to each other. The miut is outside, or the particular statements outside of those two. You have the words Asher B'mayim, and the B'mayim are written before the words B'nechalim and B'yamim U'nechalim. So now, how do you darshan such a thing? We have two klalot, two general statements, and a particular statement, but the particular statement is not found between the two general statements. So that's the Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel. B'mayim b'mayim, shnei pamim, ein ze klal uprat, el riba umiut. That generally, when the particular statements between the two general statements, we darshan it as a klal uprat uchlal. But when the prat, when the particular statements found outside of the two general statements, then we switch schools of thought and we learn it as a ribui miut ribui. And that's what Rebbe is. Rebbe's holding like this position of the Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel. That here, by the case of Bechor, since the miut is not found in between the two klalot, therefore he darshaned it as a ribui miut ribui, as opposed to being a klal. Kala Prata Kala, which is a general position when it comes to darshaning these types of setups. Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan who argue on the Tana de Beim Yishmael hold? I'm Rabbina Kadamri Bam Rabba. Anytime you find two general principles next to each other, Hatel Prat Benam, take the particular statement and place it in between them. Bedonim Kala Prat. And then you learn them in the school of thought of Kala Prat. Tamar says, Hashadamar the Rebbe Kala Prat Dorish. So now that you hold that Rebbe holds Kala Prat, Balkorchach Kashish Vot. In that case, he cannot hold like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva clearly learns out the Avar from the fact that it is a Riboy Miut, a Riboy. And by the case of Shua, the Miut, or the particular statements found between the two Klalot. So here, Rabbi would darshan as a Klal Prat Uchal. If that's the case, he would not be able to learn the Avar. He would not be able to learn about things in the past tense. Achalti v'lo achalti. Ela b'shvot nasiv alibid Rabbi Akiva v'leg lo svirle. So it must be that when it came to Shvot Shtayim Shen Arba, that's not Rabbi's own position. That he did according to the position of Rabbi Akiva. So he put Rabbi Akiva's position there to bring down cases of Shtayim Shen Arba, but he does not necessarily hold to that position. As opposed to Yediyot Tuma, where both it is the position of Rabbi Shmuel, but it's also Rabbi's personal position. And therefore Rabbi included it here, Shtayim Shen Arba by Yediyot Tuma, because that's his position, plus it's Rabbi Shmuel's position. So he was so famous like Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Akiva, it's not his position, but since he wanted to have a Mishnah full of items that are Shtayim Shen Arba, he brought Rabbi Akiva's position down to have Shtayim Shen Arba by Shavuot, even though he himself doesn't necessarily hold a bit. Okay, we'll stop over here.